Good morning. So Revelations 13, 1 to 10. Then I stood on the sand of the sea, and I saw a beast rising up out of the sea, having seven heads and ten horns, and on his horns were ten crowns, and on his heads a blasphemous name. Now the beast which I saw was like a leopard. His feet were like the feet of a bear, and his mouth like the mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave him his power, his throne, and great authority. I saw one of his heads as if it had been mortally wounded, and his deadly wound was healed, and all the world marveled and followed the beast. So they worshiped the dragon who gave authority to the beast, and they worshiped the beast, saying, "Who is like the beast? Who is able to make war with him?" And he was given a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies, and he was given authority to continue for 42 months. Then he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God to blaspheme his name, his tabernacle, and those who dwell in heaven. And it was granted to him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. And the authority was given him over every tribe, tongue, and nation. And all who dwell on the earth will worship him whose names have not been written in the book of life of the Lamb slain for the foundation of the world. If anyone has an ear, let him hear. He who leads into captivity shall go into captivity. He who kills with a sword must be killed with a sword. Here is the patience and the faith of the saints.
Thanks, Jane. Thank you, Jane. From God's Word for a few moments before we share around the Lord's table. Revelation 13, verses 13 and 14. And he performed great and miraculous signs, even causing fire to come down from heaven. He deceived the inhabitants of the earth. He deceived the inhabitants of the earth. All the inhabitants of the earth will be deceived into a false worship and religious system. All the inhabitants of the earth will be deceived into a false worship and religious system. He will use supernatural signs to deceive people into worshiping a false religious god and system. Is it possible? Is it really possible? The reality of a one world religion. Yes, and very emphatic yes. The Bible teaches that all the inhabitants of the earth will be deceived. I'm going to clarify that in a moment. But all the inhabitants of the earth will be deceived. He's not talking about all the inhabitants of the United States or all the inhabitants of Europe or all the inhabitants of Israel. All the inhabitants of the earth will be deceived. And here's my purpose for a few moments this morning. I want us to look at this Revelation 13 passage so that we will be prepared, if we are the generation that's alive when these things take place, for that one world religion. Simple handles for us to hold on to. I want to present from Revelation 13 three biblical facts about this one world religious system. And my prayer is that you will be prepared, and my passion is that we will be faithful to the Lord Jesus Christ. Three biblical facts. Number one, one world religion. It will come. This is a prophecy about the future. One world religion will take place. It will happen. Verse 8, very clear. All the inhabitants of the earth will worship. They'll be deceived. That prophecy has not taken place. It will come in the future. There's never been a time in history of mankind or the history of the book of Revelation that all of the world bowed to one religious system. Not all the inhabitants of the earth. Of course, there is an exception. We're going to see that in a moment. However, all the people of the earth will bow down to this same religious system. One of the most amazing facts that will take place on the planet Earth is that all the people will be worshiping the very same God involved in the very same religious system. Now, this morning, my purpose is not to go into detail about the religious system. Yes, it's going to be evil, but the key here that we need to underscore is that all will bow. It will be a one-world religious system, and it is coming. All the major religious groups in the world will be incorporated into that one belief. And certainly if we were going to elaborate and take time to discuss this in great detail, and maybe some of you can do that tonight in your small groups, when you look at Babylon and all of those that we see later in the book of Revelation, the harlot that rides on a horse and so forth, and Babylon, the mystery religion, there are certainly a lot of connections that go with that. But my purpose this morning is to emphasize that it will be a one world encompassing religious thing. Deception will take place because this system will incorporate supernatural signs and wonders and, of course, some other things. And I challenge you, do not doubt that. The Bible says it's coming. It's not going to be labeled Christianity. It's not going to be labeled Islam. It's not going to be labeled Hinduism or Judaism or any other religion. But it's coming. To reject it means severe consequences. And we're going to talk about that in a moment. But this raises a question. What is the label? What is the marketing approach to this one world religion? And here's fact number two. A one world religion will worship the beast. You say, no, wait a minute, Pastor. The beast. One world religion is going to worship the beast. Verse 8 says, all inhabitants will worship the beast. Now that behooves us. We better understand what the beast is, right? If all the world's going to worship the beast, we need to understand what the beast is all about. And a good hermeneutical principle for interpreting Scripture is that you let Scripture interpret Scripture. Would you not agree? I would hope you would. This is a religious political system that bows to something that the Bible calls the beast. Now, what is the beast, or who is the beast? The beast of Revelation 13 is the Antichrist. Antichrist simply means that which comes against Jesus, or that which stands instead of Jesus. Can be both. Now, Revelation 13 gives us some clear, very clear biblical clues as to who this beast is, / the Antichrist. Chapter 13, verse 2, and then, of course, in chapter 12, verse 9, his power comes from the dragon. The power comes from the dragon. Now, you say, Pastor, this is like something out of Hollywood. Well, it might seem to be that way, but it's not when you let Scripture tell you what it's all about. According to Scripture, the dragon is none other than Satan. So we have this beast, religious/political, which we're not getting into the political part of it this morning, primarily the religious part, gets its power from the dragon. Chapter 13, verse 2, his throne or his authority comes from the dragon. He establishes the most powerful and demonic marriage of religion and politics ever seen on earth. Similar, of course, to the Roman Empire with the worship of the emperor, but not just limited to that. He marries religion and politics with a powerful, demonic 666 economic and identifying system. And that's explained later in chapter 13 that's referred to as his mark. What's very interesting in these verses in Revelation 13, the writer John, exiled on the Isle of Patmos, writing under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, refers to the beast as a he and not an it. All very personal pronouns. And I believe that the Antichrist is both or all three person, place, and political religious system. And yet to be seen on earth, but is coming. The third fact, a one world religion that will cause and mean persecution for all true Christians. A one world religious system that's going to mean persecution for all true followers of Jesus. Verse 8 in chapter 13 is a very important verse for us. And I quote from the NIV. All those whose names have not been written in the book of life belonging to the Lamb that was slain from the creation of the world. And that part of that verse is in the context of all the inhabitants of the earth will worship and bow before the beast, except those whose names are in the book of life. So all those whose names are not in the book of life, the book of the Lamb, slain from the foundations and the creation of the world, none other than Jesus, the Lamb. If your name's not in that book, his book, you will bow and worship the beast. That ought to wake you up. That ought to catch your attention. The Lamb who was slain is Jesus Christ, who died for us. Jesus has a book. Now, if you want to split hairs and argue with me that Jesus has no literal book, okay, I'll go along with that. If you want to say, there's no literal book, even though I think there is. But it doesn't matter whether it's a literal book or it's in a computer program somewhere or if it's just written across the heavens. Jesus has a record of everyone that's made a confession to follow him. Jesus knows whether you have or you have not.
Amen.
And here's the serious consequences. The true followers of Jesus, the Lamb, whose names are in his book, will not bow before the beast and his coming world religion. That's the exception. Of course, how do you get your name in the book? As the Bible teaches, salvation is only found because of God's grace through faith in Jesus Christ, who died, who was God in the flesh, who died on the cross, rose from the grave, is seated at the right hand of the Father today. And salvation comes by only following him, repenting of our sin, and putting our faith and trust in him as Lord and Savior. God has raised him from the dead. John 14:6, he is the only way, the only truth, the only source of life. Romans 10:9-10, that if we confess with our mouth and believe in our heart that God has raised Jesus from the dead, and that we confess him as Lord, Adonai, God, we will be saved. It's the only way. So having the title of Christian, having the title of being Baptist or Nazarene or Christian Missionary Alliance or Presbyterian or Muslim or Hindu or whatever, none of those titles get your name in Jesus' book of life. Being a nice person, obviously, doesn't get your name in Jesus' book. Being religious doesn't get your name in the book. So here this one world religion is coming with the beast, who I believe is the Antichrist, is going to establish a world religion. And if your name is not in Jesus' book, you will bow before that system. I didn't say that. Revelation 13 says that. That if you're alive when that beast rises to power and establishes that system, and you're not a follower of Jesus Christ, born again, saved, following him, you will bow. And of course, if you bow before the system, and if you read later in Revelation, and we haven't had time to go into all those little intricate details, and you receive his mark, the mark of the beast, the 666, whatever that all encompasses, you will be cast into the lake of fire. Now for those that are born into Jesus' family and our name is in his book, there are consequences to that as well. The consequences of having your name in Jesus' book of life is found in one word, and that is persecution. Persecution. Verse 9 says, he who has an ear, let him hear. And you all have ears? Jesus is saying, listen. He's saying, I've got something very important to say here. Listen. And verse 10 adds, if anyone is to go into captivity he will go. If anyone is to be killed with the sword he will be killed. This calls for patient endurance and faithfulness on the part of the saints. Persecution in the form of prison and death, await for those who do not bow before the coming one world religion, before the religious system of the beast. The consequences of having your name in Jesus' book of life and not bowing before Antichrist system will be prison or death. Think about that. Consider all the implications of that for you, for your family, for the church, your children, your job, your possessions, your home. Think about all the implications of that. See, there will be a price to be paid for being a true follower of Jesus Christ. And we in the West, we sit back and say, oh no, that can't be. Oh, God would never let that happen to his children. Well, I challenge you to move to northern Nigeria today. Move to Sudan. Move to Mao's China back in the 50s. Or Stalin's Russia. I'm watching the time. The pre-tribulation rapture position evolved out of the West because Christians could not bear with that they would endure this or go through this. But I think it's a wrong interpretation of Scripture. Christians will be alive on the planet Earth when this takes place. So thus, I'm a pre-wrath position, and if you want to take me to lunch, we'll have a wonderful chat about that. But there will be a price to be paid for following Jesus. If we're the generation, or our children are the generation that's alive when this happens, isn't it amazing today? And here I am, I've been a Christian since 1968, I'm 69 years of age, and I sit back and have grown up in the church, and I've heard sermons on prophecy and the coming of Jesus and end times and tribulation and all of that many times in my life, and I've preached on it, that now, here, I stand in a world, in a culture where it's becoming dangerous to be a Christian in places that we have never thought. And there certainly is a move in our world and a mood to be anti-Christ, to be anti-Jesus. Three biblical facts about a one-world religion. It will come. It will mean beast worship or anti-Christ worship. And that involves both a religious and political system. And it's going to result in persecution for the true follower of Jesus Christ. Are you prepared for that coming? believe, trust those three facts. Make sure your name is in Jesus' book of life. If it's not, I cry out to you today, come to Jesus and say, Jesus, I repent. Be my Savior, my Lord, my God, my King. I need you. I trust you. My faith is in you. We're going to have communion. Let's take a moment to pray before we do. I want to give you a chance to pray and talk to Jesus for a moment. If you've never put your faith and trust in Jesus, this is a great time to do it, just by faith. He's there. He's waiting for you. He's reaching out to you if you will touch him. Thank you, Father, for our time now. We can share these elements together. Speak by your Spirit to that one that needs to be touched and drawn into your kingdom, Lord Jesus. Amen. Ask the men to get ready to serve communion. Just a couple words of instruction. Our communion table is open. It means that you do not have to be a member of Edinburgh Road Chapel. You do not have to be a member of the Christian Missionary Alliance, our parent denomination. You do need to be a member of the family of God. And that's by faith in Jesus Christ. And what a family it is. Children are welcome to partake of communion as long as they understand that these elements represent the broken body and shed blood of Jesus. This is not just cookie and punch time. We do not believe that the bread and the cup are the literal flesh and blood of Jesus. We believe that they are symbolic, but they have a fantastic meaning. So we take this as a very serious moment in partaking. The men will distribute these elements to you. I ask that everybody hold their portion. When everybody has been served, then we will eat and then we will drink together as a testimony of our oneness. Jesus took bread and he broke it. His body broken for us. Ed Crabtree, would you give thanks for the broken body?
Dear Lord, as we look upon this matzah cracker, we look upon your death. We look upon your sacrifice. We look upon the slashes that stripped your body. The agony that you felt just for my sins. Dear Lord, we take this time to honor you, to worship you, and to respect
you,
and appreciate you. In Jesus' name.
Amen. 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 Communion time, or the Lord's table, the Lord's supper, if you please. It's a special time. Early church, it was a love feast. They didn't have little cups or little crackers broken. They had a meal together. The Last Supper was a meal. And I know there was fellowship. If you want to take this time to be quiet and just meditate on the Lord and or read scripture or just pray quietly, feel free to do that. If you want to share, God has answered prayer. He's touched you this week. Feel free to share out loud if you'd like. If I miss your hand, just stand up or begin talking.
Those of you who are on Facebook for Edinburgh Chapel already saw this posting I put up a few days ago. I went to bed. I was reading in Genesis just before falling asleep. I was on chapter 11, which is the Tower of Babel account. So I got to the end of chapter 11. Put the Bible on my nightstand, attached to my CPAP machine, and dozed off to sleep. Woke up a little bit after 7 o'clock, and this is the habit. Hit the remote to turn on Fox News, but they were having a commercial. So my favorites button and surfed up one or two. There's the Encore Family Channel. And the scene that was on the screen shows some Babylonian type looking guy shaking his fist at the sky or something. And on the bottom, you know, when you switch channels, it tells you what show is on. And it says, The Bible, 1966, John Huston, director. Guess which scene was on the screen at that moment. That was the Tower of Babel section. So, you know, I watched it for 2 or 3 minutes. It took me to get the account and the scattering of the people across the world, but confounding their languages. And I just looked up for a moment and I said, okay, wise guy, again, with, you know, the coincidences, they're not coincidences, just God's way of being subtle. So I did comment on the Facebook page that there are so many people who demand God prove himself. Show me you're here, God. Strike lightning on that tree and I'll believe in you, type of thing, right? And they're always challenging Christians. I want to hear God shout at us. They're so busy demanding that God do that, they miss the proof. They miss when God comes up and says, hello there, I'm God. How are you doing today? I'm right here. And I finished up my little Facebook blurb with, no matter what else happened that day, I think it was on Monday, I'm blessed.
Thanks, Bob. Remember, no communion in heaven. There'll be no little cups, no grape juice, no matzo crackers, no bread. Because we won't have to do it. We'll be with Jesus and enjoying his presence. Jeannie.
The Lord just shared this. You know how the Lord brings people.
They can't hear you in the back, so.
Deaf in one ear today, so I think I'm talking louder than I am.
Okay.
How the Lord always just, it never ceases to amaze me how he brings people together. Everybody knows that my cousin Bobby down in Virginia just passed away. We got reconnected after a long time and blah, blah, blah. But he had his brother Barry, and Barry's wife Becca has a business down here selling Smith Island cakes. Well, the last time we had East over, Skip and Carol were talking about how they wanted to go have East, get one of those Smith Island cakes when they went down there. And they're down there. And they went to Beckett's on, I guess it was Saturday, they were, I can't remember, but Beckett texted me and then they texted me. But the bottom line is, Beckett closes at 2 o'clock. They were there till 3 o'clock, sitting there talking with her and sharing the car. She too has lost a child. They were sharing about Lauren, they were sharing about Beckett's little girl. They ended up praying and crying and sharing the Lord and just worshiping the Lord in her business. Okay. And it's just from one thing to the next how God just pulls all these people in together.
Oh, thanks.
And I'm just so grateful. And she said, thank you for sending them to me.
Yeah, well.
She said, God sent them to me.
And if you've never eaten a Smith Island cake, you have never eaten cake. Smith Island is an island out in the Chesapeake. But you only can get to it by ferry. We ready, guys? Okay. We sang about the hope that we have in Jesus Christ. And our hope is in Him because Jesus Christ is real. It's not a Santa Claus Easter Bunny kind of thing. Jesus is real. And He lived and He died and He rose again and He's coming again for His people. Eating this broken matzah cracker is certainly symbolic. But by eating it, we're saying, Jesus, our hope's in You. Really, to the very gut level of who we are as people, our hope is not in some political ideology, not in some earthly kingdom. Our hope is in the kingdom of Jesus Christ. If that's your hope, let's eat together. Imagine sitting at that Last Supper and Jesus takes the cup and He says, this is the cup of the New Testament. The New Covenant. The Testament is a covenant between God and man. And that New Testament, that New Covenant, is where God would take His children that have put faith in Jesus and put His law on their heart. Not on written stone tablets, but on their heart. And we're part of that new covenant through the blood of Jesus Christ. Ed Post, would you give thanks?
Lord, without Your blood sacrifice, where would we be? We would have no hope, but we know that You rose from the grave after paying the price. And You've covered our sins with Your blood, Lord, that we may have the opportunity to be with You, where communion will be being with You. Just thank You, Lord, as we do this in remembrance of You.
Yes, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Everything that we have as Christians, as part of God's kingdom, everything we have comes because of who Jesus Christ is and what He has done. In other words, everything that we experience is because of the atonement or the shed blood of Jesus. All that we have, His presence, His power, His gifts of the Holy Spirit that He's given to us, and healing and eternal life and forgiveness, it all comes because of Jesus' shed blood. I certainly don't have a perfect answer, but I don't know why God doesn't heal everybody. There are parts of me that says, I wish I could go in and just touch somebody and they would be healed, you know. And Jason would walk out of that wheelchair. Someday he will. Someday he will. But I wish, you know, could it happen now where the Olnicks, Skip and Carol, who are on their way back from Maryland, their young daughter died of cancer at 12 years of age. Joanne Post has cancer of the blood. Just God heal her. I know He can. Amen. That's a good attitude, Jason. And someday, the most perfect, complete healing will take place for all of us. There will be no wheelchairs. There'll be no cancer. No heart problems. It's all because of who Jesus Christ is and what he's done for us.
Amen. Dear Lord, I just come to you this morning to thank and praise you, Father. Father, you put on my heart many times at the greatest prayer that I've prayed to you. But don't understand. But don't know. None of us do, Lord. You've also prayed to mind so many times in Scripture. When John sends his disciples to you, because he didn't understand, he said, Lord, are you the one? Should we go for him? You go on to tell them that there's never been a man greater born to a woman than John. And if John can be confused, how can we do it for you? So we just pray, I pray that your will be done, Lord, in every situation.
Yes, Jesus.
Whether we understand it or not. Because that's your perfect plan. And we don't always understand your perfect plan. And I just pray that your will be done.
Amen. Amen. Sure.
You know, I ended up talking to her for an hour and a half in the backyard about God. And I told her I would plant flowers for her to teach me her knowledge, you know. But it was awesome. That's confirmation right there.
Amen. Yeah, you never know when you're going to meet an angel that doesn't look like an angel. You guys ready? Okay. Pardon? We ran out. Okay. Was there enough for people in the back? Well, husbands and wives can share if you want. We ran out this morning, so I ran out of the cups. God knows your heart, though, and your motive for. So you're going to drink symbolically this morning, then. The cup, his shed blood. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. As Paul would say, O wretched man that I am. We come to that place of, O wretched man or woman that I am, but it's all because of Jesus. Let's drink the cup together. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Our men will pick up your empty cups. Are you ready to go home? I mean, home? Or home? E.T. said home, right? Home? Okay, we don't need to pray to be dismissed, do we?
Yes.
We do?
Yes.
We have to pray to be dismissed?
Yes.
Got some people saying yes?
Yes.
Okay, let's stand.
Yes.
Father, our hope is in you, Jesus. Regardless of what the future brings, death, persecution, prison, our hope is in you. Thank you. Amen. We're dismissed.